You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Fans, it's time for another edition of the Chicago Bears Podcast, Bears Banter, powered by Windy City Gridiron and SB Nation. Bill Zimmerman with you, and, well, the Chicago Bears snatch defeat from the jaws of victory against the Detroit Lions. A lot of mixed reaction from Bears fans here because we've reached the point of the season where the Bears collapse is so bad that some Chicago Bears fans are rooting for the Bears because they just can't root against their team, and other Bears fans are rooting against the Bears because they want a better draft pick because they see no hope for this team. So I understand on both sides. I'm not going to get in the way. There's no right or wrong way to approach the rest of the season as a Bears fan. So I'm not going to get in the way of Bears fans if they want to root four wins or root four losses, because that's where we are with this organization. Lester Wildfong, the big boss man of Windy City Gridiron, the chief editor, he's going to be coming along here in a few minutes to talk about the Bears. We're going to talk offensive line, as we always do with Lester. We'll talk a little Lions, a little Texans, but we're also going to talk about what this Bears organization needs to do moving forward, because at this point, you cannot sit here and expect Nagy, Pace, Phillips to expect that trio to be back. It's just not going to happen. Now, Ted Phillips is, quote-unquote, potentially retiring at the end of the season. We've seen some reports about that. That certainly seems to be a nice soft parachute that George McCaskey is going to give his friend rather than fire him. You know, Phillips, I think, is in his 60s. It's a really easy way to say, Ted, why don't you go away so we can bring in a new team president? I've seen some fans say, no, that's not good enough. He needs to be fired, and he needs to be fired publicly so everyone knows that this, you know, the organization is not going to stand for this. And I get that feeling from Bears fans, that frustration that's just bubbling over. But at the same time, if they make the move, make the move. I don't care what the PR is in terms of how that move is made. Just make the move so you can move forward. But here's what I'm going to say about making that move. If that's what they're doing, if Ted Phillips is going to quote-unquote retire, then he needs to retire right now. We don't need Ted Phillips to retire in January. We don't need Ted Phillips to retire in February. We need Ted Phillips to retire now, because that replacement needs to be made. I'm hearing things about Pat Fitzgerald as the next head coach. And look, maybe that's going to happen, but here's the bottom line. There is a hierarchy to the hiring. If all three guys are gone, then the first guy that needs to be hired is the president, because the president needs to hire the GM, and then the president and the GM need to hire the head coach. You're not going to hire Pat Fitzgerald as the coach, then bring in a GM or a president. That's not how this works. That's not how you structure an organization. Now, you could say the Chicago Bears would do that because that's what the Bears do. Fair point. I'm not going to argue that, but that's not how they're going to do this. If they get rid of all three guys, which I'm not sure they're going to do, but if they get rid of all three guys, I think you have to replace Phillips first. You just have to. And it can't just be, you know, promoting a guy from within the organization like they did with Ted Phillips is an accountant. Don't forget that. Ted Phillips is an accountant who was promoted and eventually got team president, and then suddenly you've got an accountant trying to make football decisions. And we can hear all we want about how Ted Phillips isn't involved in football decisions, but Ted Phillips is involved in one football decision, and that is hiring the general manager. That's a huge football decision. So we can sit there and say that, fine, Ted Phillips isn't in the war room deciding who they're going to take with their first round pick. But Ted Phillips is selecting the guy who will make the decision on who they're selecting with their first round pick. So he's involved in the football, you know, structure. He's involved in football decisions because he has to make that decision. Now, again, eventually that decision is George's decision, George McCaskey's decision on who will be the president. But it doesn't change the fact that he and Ted Phillips are going to sit down and make that decision together. And that's a problem. You need a president who understands how football operations need to be structured and what a good football president can do. It's not difficult. It's really not difficult. Football people need to hire football people. Ted Phillips is not a football person. George McCaskey is not a football person. They can't be making football decisions. So they realized that 5 years ago, and they brought in Ernie Accorsi. Now, Ernie Accorsi's recommendations obviously haven't worked out, but at least they understood that they needed help from a football guy. But it doesn't change the fact that it's not working. So they need Ted Phillips to go away now, so they can spend the next 3 weeks finding a team president. So when week 17 has arrived, that GM is hired January 5th, basically, and then they can look for a head coach. If they wait and they don't do anything until team president until January, then there's a trickle-down effect of that president not getting hired till the first week of January, the GM not getting hired till the second week of January, and the head coach potentially being hired like the third week of January. And suddenly there's not a lot of great head coaching options out there, in my opinion. You're going to have a lot of them, you know, snatched up the first week or so of the offseason. So it would be so Bears to wait on everything and to lose out on some really good candidates. So the whole situation here is bizarre. And the bottom line is, I still don't trust this Bears organization to get rid of all three guys. And let's say Phillips is gone and they bring in a president. I don't know who that president's going to be, but could George McCaskey say, well, we want to keep Ryan Pace or we want to keep Matt Nagy? Absolutely that could happen. Absolutely that presidential spot could come with some restrictions as to what they can do in the first year. Well, you have to keep Ryan Pace around for a year. Well, you have to keep Matt Nagy around for a year. Maybe you have to keep both of them around for a year. I don't know what the thought process is going to be, but it sets up right now for the Chicago Bears to replace their president, GM, head coach, and quarterback all in the same offseason, bring in a new regime, and start everything fresh. It's right there. Foles is probably going to be around next year. Fine. It's one more year. You can get out of Foles' contract after 2 years. It's one more year with Foles. If he's your backup quarterback, you'll live. It's fine. If Foles is your bridge because you drafted a quarterback and, you know, if you draft Trey Lance, he's probably not going to be ready right out of the gate. So you keep Foles around. Fine. Like, that's really not a big deal. But not going all into this, signing Mitch on a one-year deal, keeping Nagy around because he still has 2 years left on his contract and you want to give Nagy one more year, or keeping Pace. Whatever they might do, if they don't just sever all ties, is just the wrong decision to make. And unfortunately, I think it's distinctly possible that the Bears make the wrong decision because there's just precedent for them doing that. There's precedent for bringing in a GM and saying, now you got to keep the coach for another year. This organization drives you nuts. And they have an opportunity. They have a really good opportunity to start fresh. And who knows if they're going to get the right, if they're going to make the right decision. But at least there's the opportunity there to not do it in a messy way. And I just don't know if the Bears are going to do it. I just don't know if George McCaskey has it in him. Every player, everyone in that organization basically tell you the same thing. If you take them out for beers and get them off the record, they'll tell you the same thing. George is a great guy. He's a great boss. They all love George McCaskey, but they all know he is not a knowledgeable football guy. He understands the game like a fan understands the game, but the intricacies, he just doesn't understand football at that next level. He just doesn't. He's a fan. He admits it. George knows this about himself, but he admits it. And the problem with George not being a football guy and Ted Phillips not being a football guy is Ryan Pace, who needs to be fired. I have been a supporter of Ryan Pace for a lot over these last, 5 years or so. But Ryan Pace needs to be fired. Ryan Pace put together a very good defense. Ryan Pace continues to add well to that defense a la Jalen Johnson. Mingo was a great pickup. So Pace continues to prove that he knows how to structure a defense and make a very good defense. Ryan Pace has ignored the offense. When Ryan Pace has addressed the offense, he did it poorly. Allen Robinson, Darnell Mooney, there's not a lot of other exciting pieces that this offense has put together over the last few years. A couple decent offensive linemen with Whitehair and Daniels. He just hasn't addressed the offense sufficiently enough, and what he has addressed hasn't worked out. He's kicked a lot of money down the road to try and sign some of the guys like Robert Quinn, Danny Trevathan. Danny Trevathan, I think he kicked money down the road for 2 or 3 years. So Ryan Pace needs to go. But here's what I'm going to say about that. While I sit here and stand here and say the Bears need to replace Ryan Pace, I don't trust the Bears brass to find a general manager better than Ryan Pace. So I think in the careful what you wish for, and again, I'm not saying Pace should stay, but careful what you wish for, because there is a distinct possibility that whatever George McCaskey decides to do this offseason, it'll be worse than it currently is. I know that's always a possibility when you replace people, when you replace the head coach, when you replace the general manager, but there is a chance it can get worse. And I'm not saying Lovie Smith, if he was still the coach for several years after he got fired, things would have been different for the Bears. But Lovie Smith goes 10-6 and gets fired. And it was an awkward situation for Phil Emery. He came in. He had to keep Lovie for a year. It was a problem. I'm not saying that wasn't a problem. And that's what the Bears do. They make structural decisions that are poor. But the fact of the matter is, when Lovie got fired at 10-6, there were a lot of Bears fans who were kind of sick of the Lovie team. Good defense, not enough offense, just not enough to get over the top. Lovie's very soft-spoken. I think a lot of Bears fans are like, I want a new coach. And I remember telling a lot of guys, and again, I'm not saying I get everything right. I definitely don't, as you guys know if you listen to me enough. But I always said, careful what you wish for. Lovie's a good coach. Careful what you wish for. There's no guarantee that the replacement for Lovie is going to be better. Now, what's funny about that is they replace him with Mark Trestman. The team got worse the year after Lovie. You may not realize it. They got worse. They won less games than they did the year before. But because the Bears had a good offense, Mark Trestman, his offense worked well in year one. Because of that, Bears fans were excited and thought the Bears were on the rise. The Bears got worse. There was always a disconnect there. Trestman made them worse from 1 year to the next. And it wasn't because they were rebuilding. It was the same team, and they got worse. And then, of course, the second year, the bottom fell out. So careful what you wish for. And I'm not saying we need to keep Pace. I'm not saying we need to keep Nagy. But do you trust George McCaskey to make this a top-notch organization like the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Baltimore Ravens? I don't. And therefore, if and when they make these moves, I will not trust them. Now, again, we'll see what they do. But when they're searching in December, January, whenever it might be, for the next team president, I do not trust George to make the right move to improve this organization. I just don't. When we get back, Lester Wiltfong, Windy City Gridiron joins us. This is Bears Banter. Bill Zimmerman will be right back. All right, welcome back into the podcast. Very excited for our guest today. He is the big boss man from Windy City Gridiron, Lester Wiltfong. He joins us now. Lester, Bill Zimmerman, how are you?
Doing good, Bill. How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing better than the Bears. I don't think there's too much reason to spend too much time on the Detroit game, but let's talk about it for a minute here, because the Bears certainly impressed with their ability to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. They had a 99.3% chance, I think, of winning with about, 4 minutes to go or so, lose the game. Let's just kind of get your overall reaction to the conclusion of that football game.
I think that game went like a lot of us kind of thought it would. I mean, I think most of us at the site all picked the Lions to win the game. Just the way the Bears has been playing the last few weeks has been atrocious. The funny thing is this week, the offense finally showed some life. But then the defense, of course, you know they just crapped the bed there. So, I mean, if for fans that are hoping for the tank, they're hoping for the draft pick, this had to be a perfect game. The Bears looked pretty good most of the game, and then they lost it at the end. So I guess that's the way it goes.
Yeah, and I mean, the Bears lost. For those who wanted a victory like your dog, you just have no hope but to cry this one out, because that one was rough. And, you know, as I always do, I'll get into some offensive line with you. I want to get into some big picture stuff first. But the one thing that I don't think enough people looked at is, despite Coward finally going to the bench and the offensive line looking significantly better, if you were a Bears fan that wanted a victory, and I understand you could sit there and say losses are better at this point for draft position, but there's still plenty of fans out there that just aren't going to cheer against the Bears, and I'm not going to fault them for that. But Coward only played on special teams. That extra point was his fault. The blocked extra point, he got blown up. They went right through him, blocked the extra point. If that doesn't happen and that extra point goes through the uprights, they're down three. So when Allen Robinson has the brain cramp and goes out of bounds to create fourth and one, the Bears can kick the field goal and go to overtime. So even when he's on the field for, I don't know, seven or eight snaps, Rashad Coward still managed to blow the game for the Bears. How about that?
You know, he has been, I know I've talked to you a lot about this in the past. You know, he has been one of the worst Chicago offensive linemen I've seen in my entire life of being a Bears fan. I'm going back to Jamarcus Webb, Frank Gate 68 there. You know, he is just, I mean, kudos to him for trying to make a position change, but it's just not working out. He looked bad last year. I was a little bit surprised the Bears brought him back. It was a RFA deal, so it wasn't a lot of money, you know, but you know, he can't be your first O-lineman off the bench. You know, there's just no way that could happen. And that's, you know, you have to look at that. And that's Ryan Pace's fault. That's how Pace designed his team. And I think with Coward, I think it took the Bears a while to kind of trust Sam Mustipher and Alex Barger to put him into place. But honestly, after one game of Coward this year, I saw enough, whether it was right guard, right tackle, his technique is sloppy. He's not powerful enough to make up for his lack of technique. He's just not a good offensive lineman. He just, I hope I never see him on the Bears again.
Yeah, it's, hey, look, and I understand where you come from saying I didn't want him to come back because he was bad last year, and he was. If they wanted to get him a little more development and bring him back, I'm okay with that. But like you said, OL6 to be the first guy up, to, you know, and you're going to adjust your offensive line to get Coward on the field, that makes no sense to me. Look, I've said it multiple times on this podcast. To me, if a Fetty was your OL6 and you actually brought in a legit guard to start this year, that would have been the move to make. Yes. And while the Bears offensive line has been awful, and they allowed defenses to tee off on Foles, they couldn't get the running game going. A lot of that, I think, was significantly worse when Coward was on the field. But, you know, and I've said this multiple times as well, when you're four, you know, they went with nine offensive linemen out of the gate for their first 53. When your four backup offensive linemen are a UDFA you converted from defensive line, a second-year UDFA, a seventh-round rookie, and a second-round pick who was a bust just coming off a rookie deal that who knows who else would have given Spriggs a shot. When those are your four guys, they actually performed exactly how you'd expect those four to perform.
Yeah, I mean, like I like your plan. I mean, if a Fetty was your backup, I mean, he wasn't bad at right guard earlier this year, but again, he's still nothing special. And they were, you know, there were better guards on the market at the time, and then there were better guards came available during the season. But for whatever reason, you know, Ryan Pace thought this team was fine where they were. I think if you had a Fetty as your swing guy, I mean, he's been at right tackle the last few weeks. And again, he's not a very good tackle. He was bad in Seattle at tackle, but he's better than what the Bears had there with Spriggs, better than what the Bears had there with Coward. So if Fetty would have been your swing guy to kind of come in and play a few spots, that's fine. But again, as a starting guard, when other better players were available, that's an indictment on Pace.
Yeah, and it's an indictment on everyone overall, because again, I understand we're not going to spend the whole time on Rashad Coward, but the fact that when he finally got benched and moved to the bench and he was still on the active roster when they brought in Kush, and Kush is sitting there on the practice squad. I'm not saying Kush is an amazing offensive lineman, but you cannot convince me in any way that Kush, however good he is at this point, is worse than Coward. I don't understand how that move wasn't made immediately. So, you know, it's not just the structure of the offensive line and other parts of this team. It's about how, and whether it's a collaboration between Pace and Nagy, Pace's decisions, Nagy's decisions, you know, position coaches, if they're making decisions, whatever the collective thought is at Halas Hall on what they're doing moving forward. Like you said, after one game, you saw enough from Coward, get him out of there. You know, Lawrence Holmes last week on the podcast says, you know, that defenses were keying off on Coward because, you know, as two guys who played offensive line at obviously low levels, even in those low levels like high school, you know that you have to have a balanced stance. You can't put your weight too far forward on runs. You can't put your weight too far forward, you know, on pass pro. And they were using Coward's stance to tee off to know whether it was going to be a pass or a run, which puts the entire offense behind the eight ball with an offense that can't be behind the eight ball because they don't have enough talent anyway. So whatever the thought process is to keep him on the field, to not bring Kush in last week, that over and over again, the questionable decisions that they've made in season with personnel just continues to boggle my mind.
Yeah, I think it's I'm wondering, is it a loyalty thing with the Bears? I mean, are they just loyal to Coward because he's been there for a few years, he agreed to the position switch. I mean, if that's the case, again, that's not how you run a franchise. I mean, it's just mind-boggling how they stuck with a guy so long that had some of these issues. And like you mentioned, a guy like Kush who comes in off the street. I mean, you know, from a physical standpoint, you know, he had some injuries in the past, but you know, he played, I think, you know, he started, I think, 8 or 9 games last year, Kush did, in the NFL. And he's a competent backup guard. That should have been where you turn to. I'm not sure what again, you know, it all comes back to how they constructed the offensive line. And the way it was constructed originally, you know, you could not afford any injuries, you know. And right. Then, of course, the Bears have had a few with Daniels. And it just really, you know, everything went to a tailspin after that. But, you know, this team, the way it was constructed, you had to have perfection up front, and the Bears didn't get it.
All right, so let's switch over here to end of season firings. Are you 100% on board with not only Nagy and Pace, but Phillips needing to go as well?
Yeah, I think the key is Phillips. I mean, I think at this point it's much PR as it is what's actually going on in the football field. I mean, the Bears. Is there anyone that likes Ted Phillips that is not involved in the actual organization? I mean, from the outside looking in, you know, fans, you know, other people in the media, you know, the whole Phillips thing, no one gets it. Yes, he's more of the finance side. You know what, then if you really like him in that role, then make that his title, you know, put him in charge of finance, you know. But I just think at this point, you know, I don't trust George McCaskey to make the right call. I don't trust Ted Phillips to make the right call. You need to bring someone in that can restructure the entire organization, because, you know, bringing a consultant in and doing what that guy tells you to do the last time with a Corsi, I mean, that was fine. That shows that you at least don't trust your own decision-making process. But, you know, this is still who's in place now. It's still George. It's still Ted. So you got to get someone here that knows how to run a football team and let them do their job.
Yeah, and look, at this point, you know, just focusing on Ryan Pace alone, he's missed wildly too many times on offense, not just Trubisky, but, you know, there's multiple parts of this offense. He ignored the offensive line. We were just talking about it. You know, there's too many misses on offense that's brought the offense to where it is. And we can talk about his ability to bring in defensive talent, whether through the draft, whether keying guys on free agency. I mean, look, Akeem Hicks was not who he was when he brought him in. Pace saw something in him, and one of the few guys that Belichick actually wanted to keep and lost. That doesn't happen to Bill Belichick, but yeah. Credit to Pace. He wooed Hicks away from the Patriots, got him in the Bears. So there's plenty of good moves he made defensively, but at this point with Pace, with the misses on offense, with a lot of the contract structures, which, you know, are really kind of, you know, I don't want to say terrifying, but it's not a good look, you know, for years down the road with some of the money he's punted. you and absolutely back behind the bus of firing Ryan Pace. But I'll also say this. I don't trust George McCaskey to find a general manager better than Ryan Pace. And I'm not saying Ryan Pace is Ozzie Newsome, but I don't trust what the Bears currently have unless they bring in a president that understands organization and how to construct a football, you know, a football operations department. I don't trust McCaskey to bring in someone than Pace, someone better than Pace.
Yeah, I mean, you hear the term, you know, football guy thrown around quite a bit. But honestly, that's what this team needs. I mean, they need someone up top like that. You know, I hear a lot of fans ask for a guy like Peyton Manning. The Ravens, Ozzie Newsome is a guy that's brought up a lot, you know. And you know, I'm not sure, you know, what direction they're going to go. But you got to have a guy that's in that president role that understands, you know, football. And you got to have him, you know, you got to task him with finding the GM. And the GM is tasked him with finding the head coach. You know, I mean, I still like Matt Nagy. I think, you know, if the situation was a little different, I think he would have a little more success here, you know, but at this time it is what it is, you know, Pace and Nagy and Phillips, you know, they have to clean house and they have to rebuild the whole structure there.
All right. So of those three guys, and I have a feeling based on what you just said, I know what you're going to say, but of those three guys, if I said, there's one guy you have to keep in the organization, and there's one guy that you can guarantee will leave the organization. Who's the guy that 100% out of those three you'd say, all right, let's keep him? And who's the guy 100% you said this guy has to go for sure?
You know, if I got to keep one, and the way the Bears operate, you know, that's something that just may happen. I think the Bears, if it was me, I would keep Nagy. At least for a year to kind of see what happens here, but you got to get a new GM and you got to get a new team president in. And then if I have to let one of those guys go, I mean, it comes down to the top. It's got to be Phillips. I mean, I don't trust George McCaskey like you do. I don't trust him to make the right call. You know, you gotta, you know, it's his team, you know, he's the chairman, you know, but the qualities of leadership is knowing what you don't know how to do. You know, he's McCaskey by name, you know, it's his franchise by name. He has to understand he doesn't know what he's doing as far as the football field goes. So bring a guy in here that you trust, you pay him handsomely and you say, hey, get the Chicago Bears back where they need to be because we are a premier franchise in the NFL. We deserve to be on top. Let's get back on top.
All right. Second part to that question, knowing how well you know the Bears organization, if there was one guy out of those three you think the Bears would keep, who is it? I'll just tell you, I think it's Ryan Pace.
Yes.
You know, it's Ryan Pace.
I think something's going to happen with Ted Phillips. I know there's some rumors out there where he may retire. If that's the case, you know, that's perfect. But then it will be such a Bears move to then have Ryan Pace be the new team president. I just see that something that's such a Bears thing to do. You know, put him in charge of the team as far as the president goes. You know, put him in that Theo Epstein role. But you know, he obviously hasn't shown enough to where he would warrant that move. But that just seems like such a Chicago thing right there.
Couldn't you see Phillips retire? Pace gets promoted. They keep Kelly. They promote him. They're like, all right, we'll see what he can do. And then maybe Nagy gets fired. They bring in a new coach. And
oh, geez.
Now you're sitting there. Pace is going to bring in another quarterback. You could absolutely see it happen.
You know, this team, I mean, at the end of the day, it comes down to Pace's screwing up in a quarterback spot. I mean, if he would have took Watson or Mahomes, you know, back then, you know, if he would have just, you know, stayed at three and took the guy that was there for him, you know, things would be a lot differently. You know, things with the narrative around what he's done as a GM would look a lot differently, you know, because, you know, getting the right quarterback that elevates an offense, you know, it makes everyone around him look better. I mean, with the Texans, of course, the Holmes thing is different. He's just on another level. But you look at Watson, I mean, he has made that offense better. I mean, he's the reason, you know, that they are, you know, looking decent these last few weeks. I mean, the team overall is not good. But what he's been doing has been, you know, he's playing at a Pro Bowl level. You know, he is just a guy that, you know, he should have been the pick all along. But of course, that's a long other story for the Bears and Ryan Pace and the Toyota Camry.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, look, and we know this is a team sport. And yeah, you do need to have, you know, 22. I mean, you really need 53, but you need plenty of capable football players. But I think plenty of Bears fans get this, but I do think there's some Bears fans and probably around the league that don't still quite understand the importance of the quarterback position. And, you know, you sit there and say, oh, well, if the, you know, you hear this, if the offense was better, if the defense was better, they could elevate Trubisky, or they could elevate Foles, or they could elevate Bray, or they could elevate Cutler. Grossman. We've heard this for so long about how the rest of the team should be able to elevate the quarterback. But the fact is, when you look at the best quarterbacks in the NFL over the last several years, so, you know, when you're talking about Brady and you're talking about Rodgers and you're talking now Mahomes and Roethlisberger and Breeze and that Wilson, that whole group, those 7-8 quarterbacks, the fact of the matter is those teams every year are expected to make the playoffs. When people put out their playoff predictions, those teams, at least 90% of them, if not 100% of them, are expected to be in the playoffs because the quarterback position. The best quarterback in the league, I would say, that isn't always assumed to be in playoff contention is Matt Ryan. And Matt Ryan is still a guy who's been in the playoffs a bunch, has reached a Super Bowl, you know, had a championship, you know, ripped away from him by Brady and Belichick. Ryan is a good quarterback who gets his team in the playoffs a bunch. That's the level. So you're talking borderline top 10. That's the level of quarterback that you have to be at to not even be just assumed to be in the playoff picture. If you have a quarterback that's elite and that's very good, it just elevates the whole team to the point where you can have a below average roster, but if you have Russell Wilson, you're a playoff contender.
Yeah, I mean, there's only a few elite guys every season. I mean, if you look at quarterbacks, you have the guys that are elite that can elevate an entire offense. Then you have kind of guys that are kind of in the middle of where what they do complements what happened. You know, those guys need a little help here and there. Then you have other guys, like we're talking about, where they need everything perfect in order to play well. You know, if that's who you have on your roster, you need to keep looking for your quarterback. That's not your guy. And then we've seen that in Chicago here for a long time now. You know, the Bears need to have a perfect O-line, a perfect running back. You know, they have to have no drops from the receivers. You know, if this is what you need for your quarterback to play just at an average level, then you got the wrong quarterback. Keep drafting them. Keep looking for them. You know, keep bringing guys in. You know, you have to turn the bottom part of your roster looking for a decent quarterback until you know you have your guy. Again, there's only a few of those top guys ever at once in the NFL. You know, if you get that guy, great. You know, but at this point, as Bears fans, you know, I just want a guy that can come in and complement what's happening around him, because we haven't seen that in our lifetime. Really?
Exactly. The quarterback's always been the complementary position. I mean, and I bring this up all the time, you know, when I look at the court, I think it's pretty obvious to me the top three quarterbacks in the history of this organization is Luckman, and then McMahon's two, and Cutler's three. And yeah, McMahon and Cutler both proved that while they were good complementary pieces to the team, that's what they were. They were complementary pieces. They weren't, you know, the key pieces to this team to catapult them to the next level. Like you said, our entire lifetime, that's who they've had.
And if you look at the current group of the Bears, I saw a stat on Twitter where Mitch Trubisky now is the all-time passer rating leader. I know that stat's kind of, you know, fishy to begin with, but as far as the Bears go, he just became the Bears all-time passer rating leader in the franchise.
Yeah, and look, and here's the truth about Trubisky. And if he throws for, I think, 1,000 yards the rest of the way, maybe 900, he's going to be fifth all-time in passing yards. So there's plenty of, you know, milestones Trubisky's going to reach here as a quarterback. And look, Mitch Trubisky is what he is. He's a four-year, in essence, starter that didn't work out, lost his job, and is going to leave the organization, which means he was not good. He was not good enough. But I don't think there's any way you can argue that Mitch Trubisky is not one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the history of this franchise.
Oh, for sure. I mean, if you just you know, the numbers, you know, what he's done. I mean, he's, you know, he has his warts, obviously, as a quarterback. But, you know, for a while, I mean, he's pretty much been all the Bears have. And you know, this is a again, I think that says more to the franchise as a whole than what it says to Trubisky's talents. Because, I mean, I like Trubisky. I wish he could have been the guy. I wish he would have been the guy that took the next step as a player. You know, but again, you know, here we are 4 years in, and you know, we haven't seen the consistency from him. I mean, he has 4 weeks to really come out there and show what he has. I'm not sure many of us are expecting him to do too much. It would be great if he would do it, though.
Yeah, look, And I know a lot of Bears fans think I'm just pure Trubisky hate, but the fact is I was completely behind this guy until about the Saints game in 2019.
Yeah.
And I gave up on him, and there's nothing that's happened other than a couple pretty good performances to change my mind on that at all over the last, you know, year plus now since that game. It is what it is. He's a great guy. He's a hard worker. He's a great teammate. Everyone around Hallis Hall loves the guy. He's the type of guy you'd love to lead your franchise for 10 or 15 years. It didn't happen. Bears need to move on. Bears need to draft a quarterback. So before we get into some offensive line stuff with you, the defense, let's talk about them briefly, because the offense has been so bad that, you know, the conversation continues to be, well, there's no point to criticize the defense because the offense is so bad, and the offensive line and the quarterback play and Nagy's play, like everything's been so focused on the offense that the defense, not a lot of people have been paying attention to the fact that this defense has been steadily slipping over the last couple months. If you want to say it's injuries with Hicks in and out of the lineup, if you want to say it's older age and this team is aging, so they're not playing well back half of the, you know, want to say motivation, and this defense is starting to get frustrated and quitting. There's plenty of avenues to go about why the defense hasn't been performing well. They're not getting to the quarterback. Their secondary play has not been as strong in the last few weeks. Where are you with this defense? Is this just they just need to, you know, tinker with it and it'll be fine again next year? Or do you actually see some warts on this defense that are problematic?
You know, for the longest time, I was saying that the Bears defense would be fine if they could, you know, if the offense could get them a lead and they can, you know, get after the quarterback. But then we've seen that against the Lions and the Bears couldn't get it done. You know, is it because of injury? I mean, the whole Quinn signing, that's a signing from a guy that thinks his team is ready to take that step to be a contender. You know, they expected the offense to be better. That's why they went out and got a pass rusher instead of keeping the football player in Floyd. So I just think with the Bears defense right now, it all starts in the trenches. You know, they're not getting after the quarterback. I mean, if you're not going to get after the quarterback in this day and age, and it sounds strange because again, they have Mac, you know, they have Hicks, you know, they have a couple guys there that should be able to do it consistently. But with Mac, you know, he had a sack last week, but it was taken away from a penalty. He's had a few of those this year, but overall, again, his production is down a little bit as far as the numbers go. Yes, he's still making an impact on the game. He's still being double teamed. You know, he's still doing pretty good against the run. But he's not paid a ton of money to set the edge. You know, he's paid a ton of money to sack the quarterback, and he's not doing it this year.
No, he's not. And you know, yeah, you can look at pressure rates and things like that. But like you said, the bottom line is they're not getting home. They had three guys. They figured you can't double team all of them. Someone's going to get single coverage and someone's going to get, someone's going to get to the quarterback every time. It hasn't been happening. And I think that's the biggest flaw in this defense is they have not generated a consistent pass rush, because when they did generate a pass rush, they had it's no coincidence. They had their best performances of the year, a la the game against the Bucs, where they were terrorizing Brady in the second half. The Bucs couldn't do anything, and we saw what happened. So speaking of the offensive line, let's jump back to the Bears offensive line. Let's assume the Bears going into 2021 whatever's happened up top, but the understanding is that they really have to do massive changes, rebuild, reload, whatever you want to talk about. So let's look at the offensive line. Of the backups that you've seen, so not the original starting five from week one, let's just look at the backups, and that it will include Mustafa and Bars, even though they weren't part of the, you know, that original, you know, Mustafa wasn't part of that original backup group. But of those guys that have played, obviously we could put Coward aside. He can go away as soon as possible. Yeah. But of the rest of them, are there ones on this organization right now that you say these guys need to be back in a sub role in 2021?
And I think you mentioned the guys. I mean, it's Mustafa, it's Bars. I think these guys have played pretty good, you know, the last few weeks. You know, I think with Mustafa, you know, right now he, from what I understand, he only plays center. If he is going to come back in a reserve role, you know, I think that, you know, you would like him to learn how to play guard as well. You know, Bars has played a little bit of tackle in times. He's played some guard. He's a good piece there. You know, and I also think a guy like a Fetty, I mean, he's a guy that the Bears sent into a cheap one-year deal. You know, I think he showed enough where he deserves at least another contract to come back and be a guy in the mix there to compete for a spot. You know, I'd like to see the Bears upgrade, you know, everywhere where he would play, where he's your guy that comes in as a reserve, you know, but I think, you know, he's a guy that can come back. And if you bring those three guys back, you know, you have to add a guy to compete at left tackle. You have to add a guy to actually compete at right tackle. And I think you can find a couple of those guys in the draft, if not free agency. You know, the Bears, I can't see them cutting both Leno and Massey. I know a lot of fans want to get rid of those two guys, but the way the money sets up, you know, from a financial standpoint, it just would make no sense to cut both of them. And then you look at a guy like, you know, if it is a guy that comes in as a rookie at left tackle, whether it's your first or your second round draft pick, you know, you let them compete. And if Leno wins the job, you know, you have to roll with it. But I think at this point, Leno needs to be pushed. You know, at the other side with Massey, he needs to be pushed. You know, I think there's some things you can do to help this O-line overall, but it all is going to come with talent. You got to get more guys come in. And again, you know, we talked about, you know, Whitehair, Daniels. I mean, there's a few guys there that are quality NFL offensive linemen. You just need more. You got to keep adding to that spot. I mean, it's kind of like quarterback. You got to keep adding to that spot so you have a solid group of eight guys that you really like. And the Bears haven't been doing that.
No, they haven't been. And we've talked about it a lot on this podcast. The website's talked about it a lot, about the way Ryan Pace has ignored the offensive line. You know, Bears over beers, they've talked about it. There's a lot of – everyone saw how much the offensive line was ignored, and it's obviously come to a head this year, and we've seen it collapse. I mean, it was a bit of a problem last year as well. But, you know, you brought up Leno and Massey. So let's put Leno aside, because I think the way the contract is structured and where kind of Leno is – Leno, I think, is going to be back next year. Even if he gets pushed or whatever, I think Leno's back in some capacity next year. I don't think cutting him makes a lot of sense. Massey is a guy that you can get out of his contract at the end of this year. Now, at the same time, people say, oh, well, then let's get rid of Massey. I don't want him. I don't want him anywhere near the team. But to replace him, you have to either draft a rookie, and you're not going to leave right tackle as a gaping hole going into the draft. You're going to have someone in place there, whether it's Massey or a free agent replacement. The issue with a free agent replacement is to replace Bobby Massey via free agency, you almost certainly have to spend an equal amount, if not more, to replace him, because that's the going rate for tackles at this point. So for Bobby Massey, do you think it's worth saving money and trying to, you know, throw a bars out there or handle this in a cheap way, in essence, and then cross your fingers you get a tackle in the draft that you think can start day one? Or is Massey, at this point where the Bears are with the offensive line, is it just most sensible to bring Leno and Massey back and see what you can do via the draft?
Yeah, I think, like I said, I mean, I've never been as down on Massey as some guys are. I mean, Massey is, you know, he is what he is. The Bears know who he is. You know, he knows who he is as a player. You know, the speed rushers, they're always going to give him a hassle unless he gets his hands on you right away. You know, with Massey, he wins, you know, he doesn't win with his feet. He wins with his hands. And that's what Massey does for you at right tackle. And if you understand that as an offense, you know, you can work around that. You can give some chip help every now and again. You can help, you know, redirect the edge rusher, you know, to him a little better if you have to. But again, you mentioned the money, and, you know, getting a free agent, you know, you're going to be spending, you know, $10, $15 million a year to bring in a starter. You know, that's what you're looking to do. You may just keep Massey, because Massey can give you at least one more year of service. You know, you push him with a rookie. You mentioned Alec Barrs. That's an interesting name, because, you know, we saw him again, was preseason, you know, but we saw him play some tackling, and his technique was pretty solid out there. I mean, this is a guy that was coached by Harry Hiestand in college and in his first year in the NFL. You know, his technique has always been pretty good. That's one thing that Barrs has had. You know, he had the injury at Notre Dame, so maybe it just takes him a little while to kind of get back with his knee, to get everything right there from a physical standpoint. But if he's good physically and he understands his role at tackle, you know, maybe let him push Massey at right tackle.
Yeah, look, I'm open to any number of suggestions, as long as they've done something to infuse some new names into this offensive line to compete and try and grab positions. Let's look at the last two guys. I think Ifedi, we both agree, if he's a backup, that's fine. If he's a starter, that's a major problem. So let's look at Whitehair and Daniels. Let's start with Whitehair, because Cody's had an interesting season. Hasn't been what you would expect for a guy, you know, making what he's making and what they expected out of him. Where are you with Whitehair? Do you think it's just kind of the entire offensive line has brought him down? Do you think his performance is lacking? You know, where are you with Whitehair this year and moving forward?
I mean, he had definitely, I said, a down year. I mean, I've seen him, you know, he's not recognized his stunts as good as he has in the past. You know, again, you look at Whitehair, he's moving positions a little bit. You know, maybe I'm not sure how much he's doing that in practice as well, but that could be hurting him as well. I always talk about with the offensive linemen, when you have your five guys, you know, let him stay there, let them do that. I mean, that's what they do. I mean, you know, if he's your center, then he's your center all the time. You know, this, I understand you want to do a little bit of stuff on a position where you're cross training guys. But the Bears aren't good enough to do that. I mean, the Bears haven't been good enough to, I mean, that's a luxury. Cross-training your guys is a luxury when you have, you know, enough talent up front, and the Bears don't have enough talent up front. You know, you can't afford moving your best guy, which, you know, either Whitehair or Daniels, you can't afford moving them all over the place because everyone around them is bad. You know, so you know, whether it's Whitehair a center next year, whether he's playing guard next year, you know, figure that out. Let the new coaching staff get that figured out and let them roll. Because I think with Whitehair and Daniels, you have guys that can't play center or guard. You know, it's up to the new coaching staff, or if, you know, if they do keep what's going on now, they have to determine that and figure out the best places for these guys to play. And again, let them ride those spots out.
Now, Daniels, obviously small sample size before the Bears lost him for the year. But for me, I really liked what I saw out of Daniels those first four games or so. I thought he was coming into his own. He looked a lot more comfortable across the line. He was really holding his blocks well. What do you think of Daniels? Obviously, the injury stinks. He's going to be going into his fourth year, too. So this would have been the offseason to extend him. Now, I don't know if you bother to do that coming off this pec injury like that. But where are you with Daniels? Do you think he's developing into the guy that can kind of be that key interior offensive line guy like a Kyle Long was for this team? And let's also throw another one at you, center or guard for Daniels. Where do you want to see him?
Yeah, I've always thought Daniels would be a better fit at center, but then, you know, the way he played earlier this year at guard, I thought he was solid. I mean, he was solid at the point of attack. You know, he did add some bulk this offseason, and you could see that. I mean, that showed in his play. He's always been a really technically sound player. You know, come from Iowa, that's what happens over there. You know, so he came in with the technique. The mental side of things, he was a little shaky as a rookie, which is why they kind of brought him along slowly. You know, but then I thought, you know, earlier this year he played good at guard. So I think, you know, that may be where he belongs. I think he has the talent to play either or. Again, it's hard to say at this point until we see how the roster's constructed. But wouldn't it be great if Sam Mustipher really truly makes that step and becomes a legitimate starting center? Then you have Whitehair and Daniels at your guards, and then your interior is pretty solid.
Yeah, interior would be solid. Let's say you bring in a solid tackle that beats either Leno or Massey. And suddenly maybe you draft another guard, you know, someone like that who can kind of push on the interior and you know, third, fourth round pick that can add a little depth into the offensive line. It's not impossible. As bad as this offensive line is, there's enough bright spots and things. It's not impossible to fix this offensive line in one offseason. I don't know if you could fix the offense in one offseason, but you can fix the offensive line in one offseason.
You know, I also like what I saw in limited act from Arlington Hambright. You know, he played left tackle in college, so he's learning a new position in guard, but I think he played one game at guard for the Bears, and his feet, you know, was a little shaky at times in pass pro, but as far as getting after you in the run game, I think he showed a little something, and I think he may be a piece moving forward as far as a backup spot in the O-line.
All right, let's wrap up with this Texans game. I don't want to spend any time on should they have drafted Watson. I'll let the rest of the media do that. But I'm sure you're at a point where you don't think the Bears can make the playoffs, so you'd rather see them lose than win. But how do you see this game against the Texans playing out?
You know, I'm never going to actually openly root for my favorite team to lose. But if they lose, I'm okay with it. I mean, that's at this point, it is what it is as Bears fans. You know, we understand where our favorite team is heading. You know, they're not heading to the playoffs. You know, I mean, they're only a game out, so I guess it could happen. But at this point, you know, I'm okay with them losing out if that's what it takes to get a new regime, a new rebuild, a new quarterback in here, because that's what it takes. If you're going to make a drastic change in the franchise, you know, make it a clean slate with everything. And that includes quarterback, because that is the most important position in all of pro sports. So go into it. I think Nick Foles will be back for sure because of the contract. So if Foles is your bridge guy to get until the rookie is completely ready, I'm okay with it as long as there's some upgrades on the O-line there.
All right, there he is. I believe his title is Senior Chief Executive Editor of Windy City Gridiron. Did I get that right?
I like that. I like that one. That's going on the resume.
Lester Wilfong, everybody. Lester, thanks so much for jumping on. I will talk to you soon.
Anytime, Bill. Thanks.
All right, there he is. Lester Wilfong, everybody. The big boss man over at Windy City Gridiron does a great job with that website. It's the best Bears website in the business. There's no doubt about it. Very proud to be a part of it and appreciate Lester jumping on. Always good to kind of go through the offensive line there. A lot of interesting observations and comments from Lester there. And this Bears mess, which is pretty remarkable that they've gotten to where they are after 2018 and where we were all and where the organization was at that point, where we thought this organization was headed. But the Bears are going to bear, and that's exactly what they've done. So moving ahead here for this game, we've got the Texans coming up for Chicago. Got some COVID issues. I'm assuming the Bears will, you know, figure it out and get through all this, because 99% of the time that's exactly what happens. But Deshaun Watson is going to have a chip on his shoulder. He's going to want to show the Bears exactly what they passed on. And look, at this point, unless you somehow think the Bears can turn it around on the snap of a couple fingers and suddenly win four straight and potentially open the door for a playoff spot, it's in that sad reality that you need to be cheering for losses. That's where the Bears are now. Cheering for losses, because we need our draft position to get better, because the Chicago Bears need a quarterback. We all know it. So they need to be able to catapult somewhere into that top 10 to grab the guy they want. So this game, I'm expecting the Bears to lose. Everyone should be expecting the Bears to lose. If anyone actually picks the Bears to win and somehow they do win, they didn't know what they were talking about. They got lucky. There's no reason to think this team is going to win. The defense isn't playing well. They have no quarterback. The offense looked a little bit better, but that was Detroit. This team is, you know, again, a collapse among all collapses that we've ever seen with this team. I would expect the Bears to lose, and lose kind of handily. I'm going to think it's going to be something around, you know, 27-17, something like that. Two score defeat. I think the Texans win this one pretty easily. I don't even want to say I hope I'm wrong, because I think it might be better. I don't even know where we are with this team. You just throw up your hands. Ah, bear down, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. Adios.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast-closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.
Support for this show comes from Wix Studio. Designers and devs, you might be able to do your thing better on Wix Studio, a web platform with everything you need to deliver bespoke sites hyper-efficiently. Design teams get a ton of smart features that can take the grind out of web creation without it costing per-pixel control. Dev teams, you get a zero-setup, developer-first environment combined with an AI code assistant and your preferred IDE for rapid deployment. Search Wix Studio today to explore the full range of features.